AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I don't train as hard as I do and do all these little things, make sure I'm taking care of every little detail to go out there and wrestle somebody that I know I can beat that's super easy. I want to go out there and compete against the absolute best guys, the guys that I don't know if I'm going to win or lose. And I think that's what being a competitor is.
This is the Reform Sports Project, a podcast about restoring healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. Hi, this is Nick Bonacore from the Reform Sports Project podcast. Joining me today is wrestling legend and mixed martial artist, Bo Nickel. Bo is one of the most accomplished collegiate wrestlers of all time, winning 3 NCAA Division I national championships and earning the 2019 Dan Hodge Trophy, which is awarded to the nation's most outstanding collegiate wrestler. He recently transitioned to MMA, earning a win in his professional debut last month. Bo and I discussed how and when he decided to specialize in wrestling, how failure and competition motivate him to succeed, and how his mental approach of gratitude enables him to handle the big moments.
Man, I am fired up beyond belief. Once again, I have another, just, he's a freaking stud. I've been watching this dude for years. My sons and I, a lot of you know, my sons wrestle. Big fans of the sport, love it, but I got a legend on, man. He's one of the greatest American wrestlers, certainly collegiate of all time. He's just made his professional MMA debut as well. 3-time national champ from Penn State now, you know, kicking butt in mixed martial arts. Bo Nickel. Bo, thanks for hopping on, man.
Absolutely, Nick. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
Well, I appreciate you, man. And there's one thing that stands out to me, man, and this is kind of where I want to start with you, and it's your energy, man. It seems like you are, you know, I've watched you, you know, when you were in college, my sons and I would watch, and just high octane, man, high energy. You've reached the pinnacle collegiate sport, and what gets you going, man? Like, what is it? Where's the juice come from? Where's the energy come from? How do you get so high octane right away all the time?
I think it definitely just starts with the fact that I feel so blessed to be able to do what I do. I just feel really passionate about my pursuits, that being MMA currently, and, you know, in my history when it was wrestling. So, you know, I think God just kind of put that on my heart and put that in me, you know, blessed me with some skills and a lot of great people around me. And it's just so fun. You know, I feel just really grateful to be able to train each and every day, and then, you know, when I do get to compete, that opportunity is just, like, it's amazing to me. And so, yeah, that's the gratitude and appreciation for, you know, my opportunities, and just knowing all the hard work that I put in every single day and all the people that really pour into me and want to help me become the best I can be. You know, that just really fires me up.
It seems like at times, man, and I know I told you, so I have 6 kids, and several of my kids, almost all of them, except for the really young ones, are all playing sports. But in the culture of youth sports today, man, it's not hard to go to a baseball field or a wrestling tournament or a soccer event and kind of see some overbearing parents, man, you know, overbearing coaches, you know, pushing 6, 7, 8-year-olds really, really, really hard. And then, you know, from my experience as a college athlete and such, like, I've been around guys who played in the big leagues. And from my experience of being around elite level athletes, it seems like a lot of those people, man, they were intrinsically motivated. And when I hear you talking, it sounds like that's where it came from. How did you get that intrinsic motivation? Like, when did you, along your path, when you were wrestling at a young age, tell us a little about your journey, how it was, like, what was your experience like as a youth athlete?
For sure. So it really starts out for me with my dad. My dad wrestled his whole life. My grandpa actually wrestled his whole life too, and wrestled in college, and he coached wrestling, so my dad got into it, and then my dad coached wrestling, so I got into it. So it's really a family thing for me, and so there was never really a time in my life where I wasn't involved with the sport. And I think that for me, at a young age, I knew where I wanted to be at, like, you know, in college and even post-collegiately. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 years old. I remember thinking that I wanted to be a state champion in high school, and I wanted to be a national champion in college, and I wanted to be Olympic gold medalist. And so I think, like you said, that intrinsic kind of fire and motivation, I don't really ever remember a time where I didn't have that and that I didn't really want to pursue that. And so for me, not to say that there wasn't hard times, there wasn't times where I wasn't like loving what I was doing, but I always had that on my mind, you know, those goals and those things that I wanted to achieve and accomplish. And luckily for me, I had a great support system, and my parents and especially my dad were there with me every step of the way to kind of get where I was going. And you know, there was I feel very fortunate because I always had my dad as a coach who, he was never more invested in what I was doing than I was. Like, it was always a conversation for us of, hey, like, what do you want? Do you want to do this tournament? Do you want to, you know, train extra this week? Do you want to, you know, instead of going to wrestling practice, like, do you want to go to football practice? It was always an open dialogue and an open conversation between us. And I really knew, like, he just wanted it for me, not for him. And so I think that I never really felt, I never felt a negative pressure. Like, I felt pressure, of course, like, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And, you know, we put a lot of time into what we were doing. So, you know, obviously when you put a lot of time into something and you care about it, you want to do well. But I never felt like I was valued based on wins and losses. And, you know, even when I would go through a tournament and have a tough loss in the finals or something like that, my dad would be the first one that was there for me to pick me up and hug me when I was, you know, crying. But he was always there for me in such a healthy way, I think. And I'm just eternally grateful for that, to just have had a great role model like him.
You know, man, I love how you pointed that out, because I think that at times get lost. And you said you think that there's a healthy pressure. I happen to agree with you. You know, there's kids out there who really put their heart and soul in their sport, and, you know, their parents are invested in it. They're all invested in it. But there is a healthy pressure, right? Because at the same time, as a parent, I know for me, like, I got to keep my kids you try to help steer them in the right direction. Can you talk a little about, like, a healthy pressure or a healthy push versus, like, and overbearing? Like, have you been around any other kids? And of course, you don't have to speak of them in particular, but have seen situations where maybe an overbearing parent may have pushed a kid away from the sport.
Oh my gosh. I mean, in wrestling, you see it so much where it's just like, it's a hard sport already. And then, you know, there's this extra, like, oh, my dad's watching me, like, oh, I better be doing this because my dad is watching me type of thing. And I see it all the time where I just feel bad for the kids because they're, like, scared almost to go out there and compete when it should be, like, the most fun thing they do. And so I think, like, to balance it with, as a parent, there always needs to be a conversation had. When you find that you're making all the decisions for your kid and you're not asking them really what they want, I think that that's where it can kind of turn to an unhealthy thing. Or I've had experiences where I've been at clinics teaching, you know, I'll teach kids as young as like 5, 6 years old. Or you see a kid that's, you know, had a lot of success at a young age, and I'll be like trying to talk to the kid, and the parent will answer every single question for him. We'll be like, oh, well, he's done this, or, oh, well, he wants to do this. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. Like, I'm asking your kid and you're telling me all of his goals and dreams and what he wants to do, and he's not saying a word. So for me, I think that it was always a big thing to have that conversation with my dad. He knew all the things that I wanted to accomplish, and he was going to do whatever he could to help me get there. But there was never anything that he wanted to accomplish through me that was, like, prioritized. You know what I mean? He obviously wanted me to win, but if I didn't want to like, if it wasn't from coming from me first, it wasn't something that was forced on me. And so I think more parents need to just have that conversation with their kids. Don't treat them like they have no voice. I think it's important just to, even as a young kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, like, hey, what do you want? And if they say, like, oh, I just want to, like, eat candy and ice cream and sit on the couch, like, all right, that's a problem. But it's also a problem on the other end if you're like, we're going to practice, we're going to 35 tournaments this year, you're going to wrestle 250 matches. And the kid's like, I don't really want to do that, you know? So, I mean, there's definitely a healthy part of the spectrum where, you know, you're talking to the kid, asking them, making sure that this aligns with their goals and stuff. And, yeah, I just think that conversation is really important.
Did you ever have, because obviously you talk about intrinsic motivation, how it was something that you knew at a young age what you wanted to do. Did you ever have a time where your dad had to, like, literally stop you? You know, say, hey, man, we're shutting it down for a little bit. Or, you know, was that ever a conversation, like, burnout type thing?
Well, for me, I was pretty fortunate because I didn't just do wrestling growing up. So I played football. I played baseball. I was on the swim team. I ran track. You know, so I did so many other things. And it was almost like there was automatically built-in downtime. Because for me, I loved wrestling so much, and it was always my number one. But I still love football and baseball and playing games and doing all those things as well. And so when I was in football season, that was what we focused on. When I played baseball, like, that was what we did, you know. Or when I ran track, like, you know, that was what we did. And then for me, it was almost to a point where I'd be like, Dad, like, when can I go back to wrestling practice? I'm in football season, but, like, you know, can I get another wrestling practice in this week or something? And so it was, like, almost built in where I had to take downtime because I was doing these other sports that I really enjoyed and I really liked. Actually, there was a time in my life in, like, the probably, like, late middle school, 7th, 8th grade, where I was like, maybe I'll play football in college. Maybe I'll, you know, go and do that, because I really loved it. But wrestling was always just a more real thing to me, and those other things were, like I said, kind of downtime and kind of take a break. So yeah, I mean, that's something that I definitely push parents to do, is to give your kid options. You know, don't say because you're a wrestler, hey, you're gonna wrestle and you're gonna wrestle 12 months a year. Like, you know, it can definitely be something where it's like, hey, like, do they want to play soccer? Like, do they want to, you know, play tennis? Like, whatever it is, give them a chance to see what they like. And then as a parent, you know, just kind of facilitate ways to help them be the best they can be at whatever it is.
When did you shut it down? Like, you know, specialization's a big piece now. Everyone wants, you know, the kids' time. Every sport overlaps. And I'm a big proponent of kids sampling and trying different things. But I also understand, like, you get to a certain age, you know, particularly in high school, you know, you want to lock in and, you know, go to college or whatever. You know, there's a time and place for that. When was it your time where you were like, all right, I want to wrestle year-round? Did you continue playing different sports through high school?
Yeah, so I played football all the way up through my sophomore year of high school. And at that point, my football team in high school was, we're the number one team in the country.
And
so
you were in Texas, right?
Yeah,
it's
in
like
Texas.
Friday Night Lights stuff.
Yeah, like, we'd have 20,000 people at a high school football game. So, like, it was nuts. And I always, like, loved football, loved it a lot. But it was, like, coming to a point where I knew that wrestling was what I really loved, what was, like, in my heart, and I couldn't devote the time, and I couldn't basically, like, justify in my mind devoting as much time to football as I needed to be able to perform the way I wanted to. And at that moment, I was like, yeah, I have to wrestle. I just have to, you know, continue to just do wrestling now. And it was hard. It was tough, you know, because, like I said, I mean, I played it for the majority of my life, and I love the game, and I still enjoy watching and or even, like, playing a pickup football game with my friends. But I just knew, like, that wrestling was my real passion. And I definitely feel like it was a good time for me too, because I was maybe, like, 16 and I was kind of maturing. So it was actually rougher for my football coaches, because as soon as I quit, I gained, like, 3 inches of height and, like, 40 pounds. So they were like, what the heck? Like, now you're going to quit? And I'm like, hey, sorry. Like, it is what it is. But I think that my playing other sports, as long as I did, was a good, healthy thing. And I was able to kind of make that decision on my own, too, where I just told my dad, I was like, hey, Dad, I'm just going to focus on wrestling. He was like, okay, I think that's, you know, a wise choice. So, yeah.
What is it about, like, you play high school football in front of 20,000 people? I mean, like, there's professional sports teams that don't draw that much, right? I mean, you're talking about a part of the country that's known for high school football, and then you're in an individual sport like wrestling where all the lights are on you, right? You go to Penn State, you're wrestling at the pinnacle, you're wrestling for national titles, and now you're one-on-one, you know, in the cage or in mixed martial arts. How do you lock in? Like, I guess that's what I want to know. Was there something from football? Was there something? How do you get yourself locked in? Was there mental training that you had to do? Like, how did you get to that point where you felt confident and locked in, you know, when you were stepping on the mat or, you know, in front of 20,000 people or now in your professional career?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that I was very blessed with the way I grew up and being in high pressure situations from a young age. Like, I remember being, you know, 7, 8 years old at wrestling tournaments, and I would have a crowd of like 50 people around my mat to watch me, like people I didn't know. Like, they would kind of, that was just the way that it went. You know, I would be at a tournament and then, you know, all of a sudden there would just be a crowd that would watch me. So like, there was kind of, I think I had instead of going 0 to 100, I kind of had a slow growth with that pressure, and I was able to manage it better than most people, because most people, the first time they compete in like a big environment isn't until they're, you know, let's say like 18, or when they're in a college program wrestling a big duel. So like, you know, they might have not never really had people watch them, but for me it was from a young age I had that, and it was like a slow steady growth of, okay, a little bit bigger moment all the way through my college career. And that's actually why I feel like I have a big advantage in MMA too, is because I've competed in Madison Square Garden sold out. I've competed in, you know, all kinds of arenas with 15, 20, 30,000 people. And I've done it since I was 18 years old. And before that, I competed in front of, you know, thousands of people at a young age. And I think that for me, it's just kind of natural at this point where I'm at, but it took a lot of work to get to there. And I know a big transition was going from high school to college. I was putting a lot of pressure on myself early in my college career to win, and I kind of changed my mindset in the way that I approached competing. And instead of approaching it in a way where like, hey, this is all or nothing, I gotta win or else all my work was wasted, I more so approach it now where I'm like, wow, this is an amazing opportunity that I get, and regardless of whether I win or lose, like, I'm gonna give my absolute best when I go out there, because that's all God asks of me, is to give 100% effort. So for me, it's more tuning into my relationship with God and kind of inviting him into that situation and allowing and then thanking him for the opportunity, and then just knowing that regardless of whether I win or lose, like, my value is still the same in his eyes and in my family's eyes. So I just get to go out there and compete freely.
That's, man, that's the humility in that moment that you're talking about. That's what I'm hearing. Obviously, your faith and the gratitude of it. And you know, not a lot of people understand that. That takes a lot of maturity and a lot of experience.
When we come back, Bo and I discuss the freedom to fail and what competition means to him.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back. Where Bo and I left off, we were about to dive deeper into how failure translates to motivation and how true competitors pursue the hardest challenges.
You talk about the word freely and freedom. Like, The freedom to fail, the freedom to make mistakes. A lot of kids feel that pressure and they feel that wound up, uptight feeling because they're getting that external pressure and all of a sudden it's not freeing. And how much does getting pinned, right? I don't know how many times you got pinned. You may have never gotten pinned in your life, but like how much does like, you know, screwing up, failing, getting beat help you in that process, that development process to where maybe, you know, kind of resets your mind. Like I know for me, I've learned way more when I've screwed up and then I've evaluated like, hey, this is where I screwed up. But it wasn't because of a lack of effort, right? Sometimes you do lose because of a lack of effort, but when do you go back and inventory that? Is that how you've kind of developed that gratitude and that perspective?
Right. So I think that to answer your question, the losses that I've taken in my career have been absolutely huge for me in that, like, learning about myself, about who I am, about what motivates me and stuff, because, you know, as you can kind of guess, like, I put a lot into what I do. Like, I'm really all in with it. And so whenever I have lost, it's really crushed me pretty bad. And I think that you learn a lot about yourself in those moments because it's a real true, you know, low. It's not like, it really hurts. And it would be easy to quit or give up or to decide, you know, maybe this is not for me. But every time I've experienced that, what's happened is just a complete bounce back and a complete shift in my mentality where I'm like, nah, like that's not happening again. That motivates me a lot. And I don't want to feel that again. So I'm going to continue to work hard, continue to grind, continue to get up every day and pursue what I'm passionate about. And so I keep all those losses in my mind. I can tell you all the way back, probably like if we really took some time to do this, I could probably go back and count every single loss I've had since I was like seven. So, you know, those really sit with me and they mean a lot to me. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm a loser just because I lost a couple of times. I know, like in my heart, I'm a winner and I know what I'm capable of. And those losses, they don't define me, but I just treat them as motivators because I don't want to feel that hurt feeling that I had. But at the same time, I know it's worth the risk. It's always going to be worth the risk to go out there and go for it.
What does it mean to you, the word compete? To be a competitor, a lot of people associate competing with wins and losses, right? Success versus quote-unquote failure. But to you, when you hear the word compete, what does it mean?
Man, just you saying that, like, gives me, like, a little tingle in my spine. It gets me fired up because I feel like I'm a natural competitor. Like, I don't care what we're doing. Like, I'm competing. We could be, you know, wrestling the NCAA finals. I could be fighting for a UFC belt, for a UFC championship, or we could be playing Monopoly, like, in the living room. I'm going to be that person, that competitor, regardless of the situation. But to answer that question, I think that being a competitor, I'll tell you a story, and I think it'll kind of answer the question. So one of my good friends, his name's Devin. So I met him through Penn State. He was on the wrestling team with me. And this dude is a certified genius. Like, right now he's getting paid to pursue a PhD in chemistry at Harvard. He's doing lectures and stuff. Like, he's creating new organic fuels and stuff. Like, this dude's a real, like, legit genius when it comes to science and chemistry. And so I was, for his whole career in college, he had a 4.0, like A in organic chemistry, A in physics, A in all these classes. And I was chatting with him on a way to a trip, a duel at Northwestern. And he was telling me he's taking this class as an elective and that it's really hard. He doesn't know if he's going to get an A in it. And I was like, oh, dude, that sucks. Why wouldn't you take, like, theater or, you know, an easy class to, like, get an A in it and protect your 4.0? Like, you want to finish your career with a 4.0, like, that's such a cool thing. Why wouldn't you just take an easy class? And then what he said really, like, it still stuck with me, obviously, and it really hit me. But he was like, I don't study as hard as I do and put all this time in to my schooling to take an easy class. And I was like, wow, that really got me. Because, like, for him, his schooling was the same as for me with wrestling. Like, I don't train as hard as I do and do all these little things, make sure I'm taking care of every little detail to go out there and wrestle somebody that I know I can beat that's super easy. I want to go out there and beat the and compete against the absolute best guys, the guys that I don't know if I'm going to win or lose. And I think that's what being a competitor is. It's not going in and competing when you know you can win or when you have an easy matchup against somebody that's, you know, less talented or experienced or as skilled as you. It's going in and challenging yourself against the absolute best of the best at whatever it is that you're doing. And through that, like, building belief in yourself that you can win and you can accomplish whatever it is that you set out to do. So to me, that's what competing and being a competitor is.
Well, dude, I haven't grown a decent strand of hair off the top of my head in like 20 years, but like any hair that I have is standing up. I mean, you got me fired up right now. That's a freaking ridiculous story. I love hearing that. What would you say? You got a lot of kids out there, you know, that'll listen to this. You know, a lot of youth wrestlers and youth athletes in general. Your message, being an athlete, being a competitor resonates, right? It doesn't matter the sport you're playing. What would be some advice you'd give these kids? You know, let's say that they're kids that they look up to you, Bo, man. They want to be the next Bo Nickel, but they just want to put themselves in the best position to get to the next level, whether that be to start on their high school team, or if you're in high school and you're successful, to win a state title, or to get to college, whatever it is. How do they put themselves in the best position to get to the next level, whatever their next level is?
The first thing they need to do, and I think the first thing anybody needs to do that's trying to accomplish anything, is you got to believe in yourself. And it might seem simple and that might sound cliche, but that's essential. You have to believe in yourself. And don't say, yeah, I believe in myself, like, hoorah, like, try to get, like, hyped up and loud for a second. Like, you got to believe in yourself, you alone, like, not in a moment where everybody's trying to hype you up. It's got to be through and through in your highs and lows. Like, you got to know in your heart that you can do it. And I think the way you do that is, and some things that can be pretty powerful are, one, just focusing on gratitude, focusing on appreciating, you know, all the different things that we've been given. So every single person, you know, while you do believe in yourself, like, we know we can't do it alone. Like, there's a lot of people that are going to pour into you, and they're going to want to help you, and they're going to sense that. Like, if you really do believe in yourself, there's going to be people that want to help you achieve your goals. And then I think that another thing that's really important is to visualize yourself achieving whatever it is that you want to achieve. And by that, I mean, one, knowing the end before the beginning even starts. So, like, if you don't have a clear idea of what you want to do and know what you want, then you're never going to get anywhere. And so if you can visualize that, visualize yourself attaining that goal and make it real visceral. So you see it happening. You can hear the noises that are going on when it happens. You can smell whatever the smell is. You can taste it. You can feel it. Whatever, if that's a gold medal, you imagine what it's going to feel like around your neck. Like, make it really real. And I think that if you can do those things, if you put that energy out there, it's going to be given back to you. And so anybody that wants to achieve anything, whatever it is, I think that all those things that I said are essential.
Bo freaking Nickel, dude. I cannot wait to watch your career as it unfolds, man. Huge fan of what you've accomplished. And you're just getting started, man. I can't thank you enough for coming on, sharing, man. I truly appreciate it. I'm grateful for your time.
Absolutely, Nick. Thank you so much for having me on, man.
That's Bo Nickel, three-time NCAA Wrestling National Champion and MMA fighter. Thanks for listening to the Reform Sports Project podcast. I'm Nick Bonacore, and our goal is to restore a healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. For updates, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or check out our website by searching for the Reform Sports Project.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug
all
needed.
Right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.